Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Thanks for joining me today. I want to talk to you about kind of an interesting, unusual topic. I'm calling it Mouths Must Be Silenced. Why I preach and witness the way I do. Yeah, there's a lot of times that I get comments, questions, when people watch the videos I put up or the audios, and they say, why do you do what you do? A lot of times they critique me. A lot of times they say, you're doing it wrong. Things like that. And I wanted to talk to you today about why mouths must be silenced and why I witness the way I do. All right? Some people have said to me, well, you preach right over people. And I have to admit, often that's true. I do that. But let me explain what it's about. It's not about being mean-spirited, unloving, or hurting their feelings. There is a method to what I'm doing. So this teaching is to help any street preachers out there or anybody, brothers or sisters, who witness the gospel and how it is to be done biblically with great wisdom, not defaming God's truth, not casting pearls, not giving audience to false ways. Let me give you my main verse for this. Titus 1:11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. All right, brother Apostle Paul was righteously angry about false teachers teaching and deceiving people, and I have to agree with him. I feel the same way. I love the false teachers. I hate their false ways. And I want to stand against that. So remember that verse. We'll come back to it. So to set the stage for this teaching, as a street preacher, teacher, and a person that's witnessing the gospel just about every day out here in van life, I generally see four types of people out here in the world and what I try to do for Christ. I see angry mockers and attackers. I see the very indifferent, they could care less. I see the false way defenders, the churchianity people, the cults. And then I see seekers and question askers, well-meaning question askers. So since the first two I don't really have any kind of dialogue or discourse with, we'll toss them out. That's not what this teaching is about. For this teaching, I'm going to focus on those other two. The false way defenders and seekers who have questions. Now, you will at times hear me talking to people, taking questions, answering them. It's a back and forth. These are people that are truth seekers, well-meaning, they're meek, they're humble. They seem to have good intentions. So again, we go back and forth. They get the gospel, they get their questions answered, they get a gospel card, they get our contact info, they get the invite to Bible study. They're a lot like the Acts 17 Bereans in that sense. Go read about that. They have a readiness of mind to hear the Word of God. Think about that. A readiness of mind to hear the Word of God. They're not defending sin. They're not promoting heresy. They're not promoting worldliness and carnality. They seem to know the condition they're in. Enemies of God because of their sin. And asking questions, perhaps seeking, counting the cost, right? I love that. I wish all of my witnessing and preaching encounters were that way. They just aren't that way, so we have to face the fact. Jesus had an encounter like that. Go read John 3, where the man asked him about being born again. And Jesus laid it out to him. And it was not a rebuke. It was teaching and truth. So the group I want to focus on next is the false way defenders and what I call sin mongers, worldly people, grace abusers. Oh, go read Jesus' words. I'm studying through Matthew verse by verse. He is so harsh on the false teachers and the people that won't repent and the stiff-necked, willful sinners. Woe to you hypocrites. Go read Matthew 23. So those are people who like to live in sin and false ways, churchianity, the world. They claim Christ many times. They come to mock, interrupt my preaching. They come to start trying to do their own preaching when they never were preaching before they saw me. then sometimes I give them a platform, very seldom, and I'll say, well, what do you have to say? And they stand there and they look foolish because they have nothing to say. I don't do that very often. Only when the Spirit leads me to do that. Most times I've done it. Every time I've done it, they look really foolish. They have nothing to say. It's like God ties their tongue and they walk away with their literal spiritual tail between their legs. So they're coming to mock. They're making excuses for their false churchianity, their sin, their easy grace, their easy believe, their carnal ways. They have not the ears for the truth. Matthew 13:15-16. For this people's heart is waxed gross, Jesus said, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So Jesus is making the difference between his disciples that were actually trying to understand, and all these people that were following him for signs and wonders and living in their sin, and they wanted a king to rule and make their life better. So think of those two different groups of people. The seekers, the well-meaning, and then the mockers, the sin defenders, the heretics, the false teachers. Now, I know if you go read Proverbs, it talks about listening before we speak. That's wisdom, right? That's true. We shouldn't just speak without knowing what the situation is. But you know what? I've been doing this long enough. When I see these people come and I see them start to get bold and stern and mock and promote sin and say heretical, shameful things, we don't purposely sit and listen to that type of sin and give them a platform. No, we don't do that. Not at all. When I encounter them in my preaching or witnessing, generally I can tell within the first couple of minutes, even before that many times, what they're about. And then what I do is I preach on, and I do not give them space to start to tell their lies, heresy, sin, and false ways. Paul said mouths must be silenced. And how I do that today is I preach on. I lift up the truth. I lift up Christ crucified. I expose churchianity and the world's false ways and the flesh and call them to repentance. I don't give them space or forum to spew error to me or those that are around that are listening. You know, these street preachers, they give a microphone to the world and go, come on up, you can say stuff. That is absolutely ridiculous. As I said, once in a while, when I am led by the Spirit, somebody will tell me, I shouldn't be using my mic and you should shut up and we could preach too. And I say, here, preach. I don't give them my mic, but I say, here, preach. Go ahead. What do you got to say? Let's listen to what you have to say. And they always look foolish. So led by the Spirit, I'll do that, but I will not make it a habit of telling people they can get up and talk while I'm preaching. That absolutely is foolish. As a street preacher and a teacher of God's Word, I can't find one verse that says I should give any false teacher, worldly, carnal, sinful, willful person against God's ways any platform or time to speak their will to me or to anyone else. Can't find one verse. We don't listen and give ground to false teachers. See how Jesus dealt with them. See how John the Baptist dealt with them. See how Paul dealt with them. John says, don't even say Godspeed to them. So what are the qualities that Paul talks about for a teacher leader? Let's talk about these. Titus 1:7-10. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, right? Not given to wine, not a striker, not to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast to the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and convince the naysayers. For there are many unruly vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So Paul says what you should be doing to those as a teacher leader. Be all those things, hospitality, be a lover of good men, sober, just, holy. And then he starts setting it up for what he's going to say next. Guess what? That's where my lead verse comes from. The very next verse, verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. I promise you, my brother, Apostle Paul, did not give stage or time or audience for any false teachers to preach their heresy. You won't find it in Scripture. They got a rebuke. He said the mouths must be silenced. So my point is this. We, as workers of God, long to go out in the world and have deep conversations, civil, back and forth, about God's truth, asking questions, them asking questions, us pouring out the truth to them as they seek truth. Not defending sin and lies and error and heresy. No. But the fact is, that is so few and far in between in this corrupt world. Churchianity and the world and the culture has corrupted and poisoned minds. They're mostly full of sin, selfishness, pride, vanity, false ways, pagan holidays, false gospels. Satan's in the lead and he's doing a great job. So when I witness or I preach or I encounter people that are seekers, I handle them with great love and care. I think you can hear that in my audios or my videos. And they get to speak and ask questions, and as long as they're not defaming God's word and teaching heresy, it's a back and forth conversation because I love them as my neighbor. But when I get those who will trample the truth of God, they abuse it, they twist it, they corrupt scripture, they lie, they make a mockery out of God, well, I love them too. But I just go and I preach on and I let them know, no, that's not true. And I preach and I pour out the gospel. I pour out sound doctrine. I pour out what I feel the Spirit has me say that they need to hear to be convicted, because it's planting seeds in them. And I don't give them any ground to keep going in their lies and heresy. That's my love to them. And let me explain. The last guy came up, saw our gospel wagon, started talking to me, instantly could tell he was going to defend churchianity. Been there 1,000 times. I went on and started preaching the gospel, started preaching why man-made churchianity will damn your soul. I went on and on and on. And he told me, "You didn't let me speak up." And I lovingly said to him, "Sir, if you have sat in false churchianity," which he has for 20 years, "under a false pastor, keeping false pagan ways, false gospels, worldliness, carnality, and you haven't changed or grown in 20 years, you don't need to speak anymore about the things of God. You need to listen to the preacher. You need to go test in God's word, and then you need to go repent of your sin and turn to righteousness, holiness, and obedience. Not stand out in the street preaching your swill, your sin, your churchianity, heresy." That is my call to them, to repent and come out of their false ways. Do you get my point here? That's what's loving. Jesus was always bold and harsh with those who had no ear or eyes or doctrine for truth. Matthew 12:41, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater one than Jonah is here." Yeah, Jesus was rebuking them. Stiff-necked Israelites. And again, I can't find any verses that tell me to give grace abusers, false teachers, heretics, worldly carnal people that trample the blood of Christ any ground in my witnessing or my preaching. No, you can't find it. Paul said, their mouths must be silenced. 2 Timothy 2:15-17. "But show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, for their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus." That word babbling, it means vain discussion. That's what that means. So listening to someone on and on about their false gospel, their defend pagan holidays, defend their worldliness, defend their carnality, defend all their churchianity corrupt system, that is vain babbling. Paul says, don't listen to. No, I encourage you street preachers and all you brothers and sisters that witness, practice preaching and witnessing with grace and patience and love, gentle kindness, meekness to seekers who are asking questions. But be bold, proclaim the word in truth, call out sin, false ways, and don't give ground for those people that will stumble God's children. That'll be a millstone around their neck. Don't give ground to the false teachers. Don't give ground to Satan's workers. Don't do it. Don't let them demean our Lord. You speaking truth, the gospel, and the truth they need to hear, and silencing them while you preach the truth, men and ladies, if you witness the truth to the right person, biblically accordingly, not teaching men, but sharing truth. You have every opportunity to share truth. We make audios and teach ladies that they can do that. Men doing the street preaching, speak the truth in love. You may be their only hope to hear. Yeah. You may be their only hope to hear the true gospel and to call them out of their churchianity, because everyone else is watered down, lukewarm, feminized, politically correct, afraid to offend anybody. Jesus was not afraid to offend. Paul was not afraid to offend. You get what I'm saying. I hope you do. I hope that helps you see why I do what I do. I hope that helps you see why I handle people differently. And all you men who see the error in my preaching, hey, send me your teachings. Send me your website. Send me your street witnessing and street preaching videos and audios. I'd love to test them and I'd love to learn from them. Do that, will you? Don'tperish@outlook.com. Hey, I hope this has been a blessing to you. Remember, the mouths of false teachers and people that profane God's word must be silenced. You can do that by preaching the gospel truth. Let the truth go out. Lift up your voice. Preach the gospel and call them to repentance. Hey, thanks for listening. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.